in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus. Hello and welcome to the Friday, August 26th version of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. My name is Daniel Dopp. I am joined by Stefania Bell and Field Yates. It's Friday, friends.
It is, and I'm laughing about something. People that are watching the live stream may have noticed each of us react because a ding hit right around the time that we went on the air.
It did.
And what struck me is not only was there a ding, but there was also, we have these plush chairs that we are sitting on, so you can hear things like a vibration on a phone. And all of us were tagged in a tweet, and I was like, why did all of a sudden we simultaneously receive... Oh, wait, somebody tagged us all in the exact same tweet. So I was laughing at that. So it's Friday. So fired up to be here and fired up to be in the presence of both Daniel Dopp and, of course, Stefania Bell.
Heck yeah. There's so much we're going to talk about today. We had football last night. How long until we have football officially? How many days?
13 days.
13 days until real football. Oh, I'm so unbelievably excited. Do you have anything you want to add for this, like to start off this Friday show, Stefania? Because we got a lot to get into. We got a very jam-packed show. We're going to spend about 45 minutes talking about the Detroit Lions. We'll spend about 5 minutes on the Vikings. And then we have a couple things towards the end of the show that we'll get to.
But 49ers played last night, and Trey Lance is still healthy. That's my contribution.
Yeah. He is still healthy.
Yeah. We do not have Trey Lance on our script. But yeah, if we want to get into it, at some point, I do think I have... I feel comfortable with where I'm at with Trey Lance on a stance. As I have not been in any 49ers practice this year, but I think from reading about practices and then watching him in some preseason games, I understand where things currently stand with Trey Lance.
Yeah. I'd like to think I understand.
Do you want to hear it?
Don't leave us hanging.
So, all right. So Trey Lance, during the preseason, we are not going to see anywhere near the entire bag of tricks from coaches. So the fact that last night, unless there was maybe one, I do not believe there was a single designed run for Trey Lance, which he's your most valuable commodity. Right. Why would you run him? On the other hand, one thing that I think has been persistent throughout training camp that I think was apparent last night is that this just in, Trey Lance is not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. He is not this surgeon with his arm as of yet, right? He is a work in progress. Maybe the perfect analog or the closer analog is early career Josh Allen. So it's going to take some time.
Yes.
This season may be for real football. Sorry, Stefania. It may be that the early year struggles for Trey Lance impact the 49ers team more than they do your fantasy team. But it's really obvious to see just how ridiculously athletic he is. Mm-hmm. And a freight train that, as far as fantasy is concerned, even if it's ugly for those first 6 weeks, maybe longer, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. Now, is there a chance that things go down into the tank and Trey Lance is not a fantasy-relevant quarterback? There's a chance. We haven't seen it yet. But the concerns that I've seen this morning as I read Twitter about Trey Lance as a thrower are fair. I think they impact real football a lot more than fantasy football, though.
Yeah, and I've been consistent in saying that he will be inconsistent probably this year, but it will be his first full season in a very long time.
Yeah.
And I think we need to exercise some patience with a developing quarterback.
Absolutely.
We keep talking about like mitigating risk throughout the draft and early in the first two rounds. Are there certain players you either want to target or avoid? And I get it. Like, if you don't want to take an unproven commodity at quarterback, that's fine. Or if you take Trey Lance and while I don't typically urge people to have two quarterbacks on their roster, but they want to insulate Trey Lance with Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, who we'll talk about more later on today. I get it. He's going to be a bit of a work in progress to begin the year.
Yep, agreed. One of the guys that we saw last night that did look pretty fantastic was Dameon Pierce. Just continues to shine here, this rookie running back that was drafted in the fourth round. Field, current ADP, it's running back 38.
Yeah, it's probably too low, Daniel.
Does that feel too low?
No, it is too low, and I'll be the first to admit that 2 weeks ago, if you had told me that, I would have said, oh, that seems about right.
I did.
A couple of things. Yeah, you did. So last night, if people missed the game, Dameon Pierce played really well for the Houston Texans. I think he now has like basically 10 rushes for 100 yards and a touchdown through the two preseason games that he's played. He sat out one, which in some ways was considered a positive because it reinforced that he might be the starting running back. I always listen to the broadcast closely, not just because I like to hear what they're saying, but because coaches are willing to give the TV broadcasters more information than they are sometimes the local reporters, just because that's how it works. And Al Michaels, at one point last night, and by the way, congrats to Al Michaels and Herbie, two absolute broadcasting legends. They were terrific last night on Amazon Prime, and the entire Amazon Prime team was strong. But they mentioned that, like, basically the Texans told him, yeah, he's the starter. Now, what he's the starter really means is what remains to be determined. Is he the first guy on the field, mm-hmm. or is he the first guy on the field that stays on the field? Because if he's the first guy on the field that stays on the field, then at his current cost, or if you drafted him 2 weeks ago, when we say league winner, that's what kind of upside he could be. Because I'm not saying he's going to necessarily be a top 10 running back, but if you're getting a guy that could be even RB22 this year at RB42, then that's significant value. So really encouraged by the player. I still don't know that they'll be 100% committed to him as a workhorse back. Maybe we see enough Rex Burkhead and Marlon Mack if he sticks around to make things a little bit annoying. But if you're drafting tonight and the rest of your league hasn't warmed up to Damian Pierce yet because they have a life and don't watch preseason football that much, this is the time to pounce.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say I told you so, but I did tell you so when I came back from Houston. I was like, I love this kid, and the chatter about him down there was real, and I watched him. I watched him. His teammates think he's quick, and Nico Collins called him shifty, and he's going to get red zone touches too. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I think he will find you fantasy points because he's going to score touchdowns. And yeah. So I moved him up.
He's right about RB30 for me now.
I'm very disappointed that everyone else is catching on because now I'm not going to be able to steal him in all of my drafts. Sure.
Yeah. So RB30. And if you're saying like, why not higher? Right? There are just a couple of concerns here. One would be just
in the offense again, in general.
Yeah. It's not a great offense. How much upside is there? Is he the same level of pass catcher as somebody like Breece Hall, who's going to play in possibly a difficult offense, but even as the lead back? I don't know that I've seen him catch a pass in a preseason game. He did not have a ton of passing game work at Florida, so we don't know what that element of his game looks like. And then also, again, what coaches say now versus what they do once the season begins can be different. And maybe, again, Rex Burkhead handles 30% of the carries, or Marlon Mack handles 30% of the carries, and Rex Burkhead accounts for another 15% more. You would need a more dominant workhorse role for Damian Pierce in this offense if he doesn't have that much passing game value mm-hmm. to be a top 20-ish play per week. But I'm really optimistic, and I still think that he's going to end up being one of the values of the drafts right now. His ADP is going to catapult. And there's a case, by the way, for right now, if you wanted to, draft him as a top 25 back.
Yeah, I can tell you he was working on pass catching when I was down there. He was making those type of plays. So I think the potential, I've always thought that he would continue to evolve. So I think he may not get tons of work out of the gate, but I think he will become a three down back potentially.
If you play in a league like with like sharps, like fellow people that play a ton of fantasy leagues, he's going to go way earlier than where he's currently going on average, which is like RB38 right now. He'll go way before that. We're talking like 5, 6, 7 rounds sooner than that.
Yep.
It reminds me of what happened with Isaiah Pacheco during our draft special during the marathon. People that are aware of what's happening are going to take him for the upside. Yeah. They're going to draft him for the chance that he is the guy in the Houston backfield.
All right, Stefania, we're going to talk about Darren Waller right now. Continues to sit out practice, which is something that's a little bit concerning for me. He's one of the top tight ends off the board. But I want to know if you're concerned about this because you're using an early draft pick on a guy. I mean, Darren Waller, if you're drafting him, you're taking him in the 5th round right now.
Right. And I wasn't concerned a week ago. Mm-hmm. And now I'm starting to get a little more concerned because as we talked about yesterday, you hear about players having hamstring issues in training camp. And as I said, there's a spectrum, right? Because it can be a nothing injury and they're just trying to hold them out to make sure it doesn't turn into something. And most cases, if it's something more serious, we kind of hear about that. So I think there's a lot of protecting players, especially somebody as important as Waller. Yeah. So I did not worry about him missing a few days, but here's what happened. He came back and had one practice and then disappeared again. And now he hasn't practiced since. And Josh McDaniels has been a little cagey, saying that he's not concerned, but yet not being willing to commit to him being ready for week 1. So what do you do with that? You don't know for sure that he's going to be available week 1. We'd love to see him back in practice so we had a better idea, but as of now, that's not happened.
There's one more factor we have to introduce here, which is that Darren Waller is currently dramatically underpaid for his production at the position, and that has been something that has been floated about or has been discussed as a possible reason tied to his absence. Is he sort of holding in, right? He may be dealing with something in that hamstring, but If he had a contract signed this afternoon, he could be back on the field tomorrow. The reason why I mention this is that Darren Waller just recently let go of his agent. Second time this offseason, I believe, that he has let go of an agent. And when you're changing agents, it typically means, not always, but typically means you're frustrated by your contract situation. Right? A deal isn't not done yet. So I would not normally alert people about changing of agents, but it seems pertinent in this regard. And if a deal gets done tomorrow and he's back on the field next week, then I won't feel at all unconfident, not confident in Darren Waller. I will feel confident because he's a freak player. But this did get me thinking about something else. And I think we're going to do a segment on this before the season begins. The players that you're most scared that you are either too low or too high on. And we talk a lot about guys that we might be too high on, but a guy that I'm scared I might be too low on, and I was not at the outset of the offseason, but I have since softened my stance on him, Hunter Renfrow. Back to this one. Wide receiver 20 for me at one point this offseason. He's now wide receiver 31 for me. Yeah. And I'm just scared that, and I know the factors working against him. Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, pretty simple. Really simple. But that dude is a stone-cold killer. I don't know if you guys saw the recent comments from Derwin James on the Pivot podcast, which is Ryan Clark and Channing Crowder and also Fred Taylor. Our guy Ryan Clark, they do an amazing job.
It's great.
And Derwin James brought up, talk about best receivers in the NFL, and Hunter Renfrow was near the top of the list. And I'm like, you know something? That guy's so good.
So good.
So good. 103 catches last year that I'm worried that at the end of this season, I'm going to say, you should have just gone with your gut. Mm-hmm. He's one of the players that comes to mind for me that makes me extremely nervous that I am just way too low on.
And we talk about trust. I feel like he has a huge trust connection with his quarterback.
And Josh McDaniels is going to get a lot of the slot receiver. He always has.
There's a pattern there.
There is certainly a pattern.
Really excited to be able to see what this Raiders offense just does in general. There are a lot of new things here that we're excited about. All right. With all that being said, it's now time for the star of the show. Everything that everyone has been waiting for. It is time for the Detroit Lions. Yeah. Double trouble.
Double trouble.
Double, double.
Trouble,
trouble.
Double trouble.
Double, double.
Trouble, trouble.
Double trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Wow, look at that list on the left of those fantasy superstars. Starting with Jared Goff, if you're watching the screen. You're not drafting Jared Goff in any redraft leagues. I don't even think he's a bye week fill-in. And like, as much as I want to love the Lions, are you drafting Jared Goff anywhere within fantasy this year?
I'm not. I do think Jared Goff is a solid quarterback. But let's just look at the past 3 years, right? He played with the Rams for two of those with great weapons. Here are his touchdown interception ratio the past 3 years. 22 touchdowns, 16 picks, 20 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 19 touchdowns and 8 picks last year with the Lions. The more important number in these cases, the touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Not a ton of touchdown upside, less than 100 yards rushing in each of the past 3 years. Good player, perhaps underappreciated, but not fantasy relevant. I do not have him ranked in my top 25 of quarterbacks.
Agreed. So let's move on to the running backs where things really matter here. And Stephania Bell, DeAndre Swift last year was running back 5 in the 11 games that he was healthy. I think that he's set up to be that Alvin Kamara type, Austin Eckler type of a running back where that pass catching is a huge part of what he does. Do you think that there's potential top 5 value with DeAndre Swift with the way the Lions might use him this year?
I think if he does what Deuce Staley says he needs to go do, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference if I love DeAndre Swift because Deuce Staley loves DeAndre Swift.
Listen,
yeah.
I mean, and he believes in him. But it was interesting to me, we're talking about Hard Knocks for folks who might not be familiar. And if you haven't been watching it, you really should because it's outstanding.
So
and the Detroit Lions are perfect because it's Detroit versus everybody. And who has the underdog and everybody hates us. It's so good. So good. They do such a great job with that show. But I was watching, I'm a little behind, admittedly, Daniel.
Yeah, you've been traveling. You've been doing a lot of work. It's okay.
I get excuses. But I was watching, and there was this scene with the running backs room and him talking about DeAndre Swift and basically like, you got to get this edge. You've got to beat the guy who's a little bit more aggressive. And I'm looking at DeAndre Swift and I don't know if he's buying it or I don't know if that's his persona. Mm-hmm. Right. And it got me to thinking, does he have that thing that can take him to be that number one guy? Does he have that belief in himself? Because he's certainly got the talent. He's got the versatility. He's a great pass catcher, great run. I think he's got this great vision as a running back. I don't know if he has that it. We will see. He's dealt with injuries a little bit in a couple of years, but nothing. I don't think unusual concussion first season. Shoulder injury last year late in the season cost him a few games. But I guess that's the question. I think he has the potential, but will he get there?
Yeah. I think right now Field is going as RB9, so you're drafting him as a top 10 running back already.
He deserves it. Yeah, he does, in my opinion. And you look back to last year, before he got hurt in week 12, he did return from that shoulder injury late in the season. But those first 11 games, DeAndre Swift led all running backs in both catches and targets. If you look at qualified running backs last year, so you can throw away guys like Christian McCaffrey that barely played, he had 6.0 targets per game, best in the NFL for the full season. Accounting for games missed, he was still fourth in targets, fourth in catches, and fifth in receiving yards amongst running backs. So good in the passing game. That just unlocks so much upside here for DeAndre Swift. And if he gets more work than the 151 carries he got last year, potentially a very good offensive line. Plenty of investments. They've got two really good tackles. They've got a center in Frank Ragnow, who's great. They've drafted quality guards in recent years. The pieces are in place for this Lions offense to be pretty solid in the running game as well. He had 7 rushing touchdowns last season. He gets opportunities near the goal line. I guess if I'm going to make the concern list for DeAndre Swift is that the Lions, A, have better weapons around him now. DJ Chark, he's available. Yes. At some point, Jameson Williams will be available. TJ Hockenson is back. Jamal Williams will have ish a role. Amon-Ra St. Brown obviously broke out. And that this Lions team just could be better, so they don't have to throw it as much. But I'm just not so sure that those things can offset my overall excitement about DeAndre Swift. He is a great target in the early second round right now. Great target in the early second round for anybody that's looking for a running back that can be an anchor of their roster.
And I really love, you talked about this, but he is a goal line. He, last year, was one of the guys that got goal line work. It's easy to think, yeah, Jamal Williams is just like the bigger guy. I'll bet you they go to him more at the goal line when you're inside the 5. He had more goal-to-goal rushes. He had 11 to Jamal Williams' 9 last year. They still like to utilize him, not only as a pass-catching back, but like to your point, with those rushing touchdowns, they don't mind using him in the goal, like in goal line situations. Yeah. So
last thought here, and sometimes we overthink this in fantasy, he's just an awesome player.
Yes, yeah. He is.
Super talented. Really like, guy's a great pass catcher, as we've talked about already. Great runner, electric. Like, there are what-if scenarios for DeAndre Swift of what if he had been playing in a different offense or played in a more dominant role in terms of touches over the past couple of years. How would we be discussing him? Would not stun me if next year, when we're discussing the elite tiers of running backs, that in that top tier, you include the name DeAndre Swift.
Heck yeah. What about the guy behind him? Jamal Williams. I don't think he's really an insurance back for this offense, but he's still somebody that does get utilized. If anything happened to DeAndre Swift, he would be used. But Stefania, do you think that he's somebody that you would look at, you know, as a late round flyer, or maybe if you waited on running back, someone that is still going to be on the field a little bit?
Not really. I mean, I don't look at him in the same way we talked about some of these number two backs. You know, yesterday, for example, we were talking about the Packers.
Yep.
I mean, you've got two running backs that you could be comfortable starting.
Yeah.
That is not the case here for me. Jamal Williams, these nice stats from Thirsty Kyle, still our research over there. Silent, no mic, but we are acknowledging you, Kyle. 11.8 touches per game for Jamal Williams in weeks 1 through 11 when Swift was healthy. Scored under 9 points in 6 of those 8 games.
Yeah.
That's not helping my fantasy roster.
Not a lot of upside from
not
that standpoint.
Not tons of upside.
Yeah.
I like him in the huddle. He's a motivational speaker. You know, and I think if DeAndre, so number one, he's not a starting running back. I'm not using him as a flex play. I don't think there's a ton of upside there.
Yep.
I think it was billed as that when he came to the Lions, that would be the situation. I don't think that's played out. I don't really see any reason for that to change.
Yeah.
But he's also, to me, not necessarily the insurance back. He doesn't become DeAndre Swift if DeAndre Swift is out.
No, he does not.
Yeah, I would agree with basically everything Stefania said there. So you look back at the numbers from last season, and there were some misleading ones with Jamal Williams. Half of his 26 catches came in just 2 games. One of them was week 1. Remember, he came out of the gates firing, and we're like, oh my God, could the Lions have 2 running backs that really matter in fantasy? Then he had 5 in the game that DeAndre Swift got hurt against the Bears. So 13 of his 26 came in just 2 games.
Yeah.
Otherwise, not a lot of value. I think he is an important insurance policy, though, because while it wouldn't necessarily be exactly DeAndre Swift's role, it will be valuable enough to put him onto that flex radar, maybe even low-end RB2 in the right circumstances. One thing we've learned with the Lions, though, in recent years, is that they'll make running backs appear out of thin air, right? Remember Craig Reynolds from Kutztown University?
That's right.
Also where Mike Clay
Shout
went.
Shout out to Mike Clay.
Yeah, so I think that there is only one back on this roster that will have that can have enough of a role, plus the skill set, that if he is a starter to guarantee fantasy value as like a top 15 back, and that is, of course, DeAndre Swift. But Jamal Williams, better football player than he is fantasy asset right now. The guy is, Stefania said, a heart and soul type player. So I like him a lot as an individual and as a player in real life. But for fantasy, I don't think he belongs. I have him as running back 45 right now. He's going undrafted in over 70% of leagues. And I understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about the wide receivers here, because this is where I get excited. Amon-Ra St. Brown, you look at how he ended the year last year. 10 targets in 6 straight games to end 2021. You give me any wide receiver that's getting double-digit targets over the last 6 games, I am in on that. He had a touchdown in his last 4 field. We've talked about the potential fear of what happens to this offense. Maybe Jameson Williams comes on towards the end of the season. Maybe they start utilizing TJ Hockenson and DeAndre Swift, who weren't around for those final games with Amon-Ra St. Brown, a little bit more. But I think in watching the preseason play out, feels like maybe we're settling in with Amon-Ra St. Brown as a really solid low-end wide receiver 2 or a very high-end flex play.
I think that's fair, Daniel. And we talk about fantasy being the byproduct of 2 things, right? Ability and opportunity.
Opportunity, yep.
Late last season, the opportunity was ripe. If you go back and look who else was catching passes for the Lions during the incredible streak for Amon-Ra St. Brown to close the year, it was the likes of Craig Reynolds and Khalif Raymond and Josh Reynolds. It was not exactly a bunch of stars that we are aware of that deserve to be in your fantasy lineup, really under any circumstances. It was Lions dealing with a ton of injuries, and Amon-Ra St. Brown feasted. But I just mentioned a little while ago how Hunter Renfrow is one of those players that I just get nervous I'm too low on because I've overthought it, and he's just really good. Amon-Ra St. Brown is just really, really good. Let's go back at some of the numbers from last year because they deserve mentioning. It was historic. Here is a list of every rookie, and you guys know I love this trick. Here's a list of every rookie in NFL history with at least 5 catches in 8 straight games. Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's it. That's the entire list. Amon-Ra St. Brown's the only rookie to ever do that. That streak, by the way, carries into this year. Obviously, he's no longer a rookie, but 5 catches in 8 games to finish last season. He had the most catches in the NFL, 92, without a single drop. He's reliable as all get out. Volume should be really solid. I understand that there are concerns because you have other players around him, but I'm just not going to overthink him. He had the same number of finishes last year inside the top 12 for wide receivers as Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
A hat tip to our buddy Ryan McDowell, RyanMC23 on Twitter, one of our favorites, for that stat right there. Amon-Ra St. Brown, part of me just keeps coming back to this. Just don't overthink it. The dude's a baller. I can't wait to see what he does this year. I think he's going to lead this team in targets easily. And a 100-plus catch season would not surprise me a bit.
You know why he didn't drop any balls last year?
Because he does 202 catches on the jugs machine
every day. That's exactly why. Because his dad made him do 202
Bobby Brown, every day. He's awesome. I just think that as you get to that spot right now, that range, and there are wide receivers that are going a little bit ahead or a little bit behind Amon-Ra St. Brown, and maybe what are you looking for? You've got DK Metcalf and Terry McLaurin a little bit ahead of him. You've got Mike Williams right around him as well. I think if we look back at the end of the year, Tristan Cockcroft could have, who does our consistency rankings, could have Amon-Ra St. Brown higher than the rest of those guys. Maybe DK and Mike Williams have a clearly higher ceiling because they could have 15 touchdowns this year. They're both that good. But Amon-Ra could be, he could be like a Wes Welker in this offense, right? 7 catches, 85 yards, an occasional touchdown. You take that every day of the week.
I would take that many days of the week if you're being
honest. Are you drafting him in every single fantasy league?
No, I'm not. I'm trying really hard. This is one of the things with fandom, right? When it comes to things. I love Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I'm not shy. You don't love your Lions as much as I love my 49ers.
That's not it.
My big thing, as I've realized over the years, is that you just got to diversify your portfolio.
That's exactly. I got too many teams. I got too. I can't do the same thing.
Story of my life. I need to diversify my portfolio better.
Yeah, but just like, there are players that I've said on the podcast, right? Like we talked about it yesterday, Aaron Rodgers. You know who I'm going to draft in at least one league this year? Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
Right? Because what if I'm wrong? Which, by the way, ask my wife, happens all the time. Right? Like these things happen all the time in our business. So it's better to hedge against yourself sometimes when you play in 10 leagues.
I also say there are a lot of situations where, because I've found myself taking DeAndre Swift either as my RB2 at the back end of the second round or something like that, I try not to go out and grab two members of the Detroit Lions offense, just because as much as I love them,
because
they're not a high flying offense. I'm trying to be
fair. You have experience with the Lions. Yes. You're trying to get through the fantasy season. I understand. Okay.
All right, Stefania, we're going to talk about Jameson Williams next. Obviously a top 12 draft pick this year, somebody that in Dynasty everyone is thrilled about. But this season for Jameson Williams and the Lions, how are you approaching him knowing that he's coming back from an ACL injury that he suffered in that national championship game?
Well, we already know that he's going to be out for the first handful of games. And we don't know necessarily.
Minimum, yep.
Right. I don't necessarily think it's just four, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I don't know when he's going to be brought back. I think he's got to get a comfort level of acclimating to football. People forget national championship game for football was in 2022 for college. That's when he got hurt. So it's a shorter recovery window for him, given the recency of his injury. And he's an investment for the Lions. They don't want to put him back out there just to get him out for no reason and risk him having a separate injury, risk him not being as good as he can be. Like, you want to set him up for success. So
long term,
I will not be surprised if we do not see him for the first 2 months of the year.
Wow. First 2 months of the year, Stefania.
I'm not saying
that. Well, by the way,
I'm not saying that will happen.
I know nothing, but I wouldn't be surprised either.
I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised.
Play the long game here for Detroit. I have no clue. I'm just using logic here.
Which is part of the reason why Amon-Ra St. Brown might be trending up a little bit, because of the fact that if there is concern that Jameson Williams might miss more than just the first 4 weeks.
Put him on the list.
Even if he comes back, he's a rookie. It's not like he's coming back and he's a vet that can just jump right in and be good to go, right? There's going to be a little bit of learning curve there, I think.
And so much of, speed is a big part of his game, right? Obviously, if you look at 19.6 yards per catch when he was at Alabama last year. So that acceleration, deceleration, I've talked about it before, the hardest thing to get back when you're coming back from an ACL. So that means when you're expected to stretch the field, you got to explode quickly and then you got to stop quickly to make the big plays. Why would you put him in a situation if you're concerned that he's not 100% yet, you know? So I just don't see it happening till later in the year. And I think if it's a dynasty league, I am totally going to get Jameson Williams. But if it's a redraft league, I'm not sure I'm investing in draft pick in him. I don't even know that I want to take an IR slot. I've heard some people talk about that as an option. I think not for me this year.
Yeah, I think there are other players that are either currently dealing with less significant injuries or could pop up with injuries in the next couple of weeks that I would rather use my IR slot on, right? Like we just talked about Darren Waller. I don't think it's going to last into the season, but in the scenario that it does, I'd rather use it on somebody like that. Than Jameson Williams. I just got to dust off this stat because anybody who watched First Draft Podcast or any of our coverage here at ESPN has probably heard me use it already. Jameson Williams had 15 touchdowns at Alabama.
Yeah, he did.
The average length of them was 47.6 yards. Like 47.6 yards. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
That's absurd.
Was Jalen Waddle close to that?
I think Jalen Waddle was like 44.3. It was some ridiculous number as well. I mean, Alabama, like,
they're
every
pretty good.
Year.
In case you didn't know.
Yeah, during the rebuilding year. They had a rebuilding year last year and they made the national championship.
Their
I'm
receivers
so
are always pretty good.
They're incredible. And then also, as we know, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, all were teammates at Ohio State as he transferred out from Ohio State to Alabama. There seems to be a pretty good trend there. If I were an Ohio State guy, I was kind of down on my luck, I might just transfer to an SEC school. Joe Burrow, Jameson Williams seems to be working out pretty well for these guys.
Why not give it a shot? You know also seems to be working out well for here in this Detroit Lions offense?
Jared Goff?
No.
TJ Hawkinson.
My twin, TJ Hawkinson. TJ Hawkinson.
Again,
Right now I'm drafting him. By the way, appreciate Jackson for putting up the photo. Although, Jackson, I agree with most of the internet. I think you just put two of the same photos up there. If you could get one of me and one of TJ Hawkinson, that would be great rather than two of the same photos. However,
so my favorite part of this is just quick story here. So one of my very best friends in the world, Jason, and his lovely wife, Mackenzie, got married the weekend of the NFL draft a few years ago. They got married in Detroit. The draft was in Nashville, 2019. And so I was covering the draft for ESPN, but I just one of my best friends. I'm not going to miss his wedding. So I left after night one. So I'm boarding a plane early Friday morning from Nashville to Detroit. And I look up and I see one of my friends from the Lions organization. I also happen to see him standing next to a guy who is extremely large, but had a very ill-fitting suit and had like the kind of hair, like bedhead to the max.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Felix, come over here for a second. He's like, I want you to meet TJ Hawkinson. And I'm like, yep, that was the guy that I just sat there and watched on film for the past 4 months and studied. And he's awesome. He also needs a stylist in the worst way.
Yes. He had a baby face when he came out.
I mean, I don't even know if his face is baby face or not anymore, but his glow up has been incredible. I'm telling you, not a single person in the airport had any idea that they were staring at the 8th overall pick in the draft. The guy wore number 38 in college. That is the least swaggy number. And take that from me, because I wore 38 in college.
Oh, wow.
They were like, what can we stick you with? Because Lord knows you're not going to make much of an impact. 38. That's an ugly number. And TJ Hawkinson made it look so good. And he's still really good right now. We'll talk about his fantasy value in a second, but if nothing else, TJ Hawkinson's glow up deserves all the respect in the world.
Yes, I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you.
Have you been, has he consulted with you?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet. I've been waiting. I might try to send
let him
DM.
Know you're available. We'll yeah. Slide into his DMs. Yeah, we'll let him know that you
but
are available.
The nicest kid. His parents, unbelievably kind too.
Heck yeah.
They were so excited.
Midwest kid. How can he not be, right?
Oh, they were so, I mean, they were like, we can't
really
wait for him
the
to play
same
in Detroit.
Person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey now.
They are Mama Dop.
Hey now. Hey
nicest
now.
Nicest human ever.
All right. So let's talk about this then, because I love TJ Hawkinson this year as pretty much the end of the tier that I'm trying to leave drafts with at tight end, right? Dalton Schultz, TJ Hawkinson is pretty much the end of where I'm trying to grab a tight end. Currently, if you're getting him, you're grabbing him in the 8th round. So if you're waiting, you're not getting one of those early guys. For me, that's my line of delineation. Field, I know we've talked about this before when we have that as far as tight ends. But Stefania, I want to ask you, when you're looking at TJ Hawkinson, when you look at this list of tight ends that we have up on the screen, how do you feel about TJ Hawkinson being a tight end that when you leave your draft, he's going to basically be a set it and forget it tight end for you for most of the season?
I think I mostly feel good about it. I think the whole offense has upgraded in Detroit. I had him in a league last year and I felt the pain of some of the inconsistency.
Yeah.
Last year, 12 games played, 4 games with over 15 points, but 3 games with under 5 points.
Yeah.
And I don't blame TJ Hawkinson for that. That I think was a function of that Detroit offense as a whole. I think everything elevates a notch. He ended up getting hurt. He had a hand injury, ended up having surgery at the end of the year. I've totally recovered from that. So I think he's an uber talented tight end.
Yeah.
And I think the offense is getting better.
Yeah.
So I think I feel pretty good about I borrow Fields' tears comment all the time. But, you know, I don't think he's in that first tier. But I think he's somebody who potentially could be. Like, he's another guy. If you put him in the number one offense, like, to me, he becomes that top tier tight end.
Yeah, I'd be surprised by 120 or more targets for TJ Hawkinson this season. I'd be surprised by 12 or more receiving touchdowns this season. His yards per catch, not going to be like a guy like George Kittle, which is why even with the up and down nature to his passing game utilization each week, he might catch 8 passes for 155 yards and 2 touchdowns, George Kittle. So I like TJ Hawkinson. He's just a solid tight end target. That's like the most vanilla analysis that I could give. But at tight end, you kind of have a few categories. Guys you love, guys that are just sort of solid like him, and then guys that you're praying when you put them into their lineup that they can get you 5 catches and a touchdown.
100%.
If that happens, you feel fantastic, but you also know there's a chance that it might be 1 catch for 8 yards.
Yep. Agree. Agree on that. Caesars has the Detroit Lions at 6.5 wins for the season. Mm. Field Yates.
Frisky. Feeling like the 10 wins in a playoff game.
Hey!
I'm going to go over. This team plays really hard. Really, really hard.
Agreed. Stefania?
Of course you agree.
Okay, I know.
Really? Over?
Daniel has them at like, what,
they have 19 wins.
Oh, wait, I don't have 19 wins. No.
Undefeated, says David Presley, our producer. my goodness. No, definitely. Yeah. Somewhere between, what was Caesar? 6.5.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the over.
Yeah, I'll take 7. I feel very confident in 7 wins for this Detroit Lions team when I look at the schedule. I think the Lions.
You are restraining yourself.
I'm trying so hard. But it's so, when you watch, listen, when Hard Knocks is your team. It just feels different. I had a real quick, and we got to move on. I had a conversation with Mama Dop about this because she was
talking
like,
yourself real quick, Daniel.
I know. I'm so sorry. But I had a conversation with Mama Dop about Hard Knocks. And she's like, oh, it was so cool watching that guy who just started playing football like 7 years ago. And I'm like, Mom, I just got to tell you really quickly. some of these guys might not make the team, and like they're trying to get you invested. All right. So I just, you've never watched Hard Knocks before. I just want you to know. And so like, it's just, it's an unbelievable thing though. I feel like being able to watch this team, because getting that inside look, how can you not love Dan Campbell? How can you not come away being like, man, I know I'm a Lions fan, but those, the speeches, all of the way that he just finds this, this camaraderie, this community, the relationship with his, not just coaching staff, but with the players.
Yeah,
dude, it's just so different than years past for the Lions. So I'm all in. That's all.
I would run through a brick wall for Dan Campbell, but they've all been run through already.
Yeah, everyone's run through all the brick walls
already. Yeah, there's none left over for the rest of us.
I love it. All right. We're going to talk about the Vikings and a few more things when we come back. But first, field a message from our friends at Geico.
How would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all things in your life, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Can even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
Football fans, join the next generation of fantasy football with Rainmakers Football, their first ever NFT fantasy game from DraftKings. It's the only NFT fantasy game licensed by the NFLPA, and now you can play all season long for millions in prizes by building the ultimate NFT franchise. Right now, everyone can get their first full roster starter pack for free. Playing Rainmakers is really simple. You buy, sell, bid, and win player card NFTs of the biggest names in the game through regular drops and auctions on the DraftKings marketplace. Then you craft your lineups of athletes from your NFT collection and earn points for touchdowns, receptions, and more. It's the same way that you do things within daily fantasy football. You build your NFT franchise, you enter free Rainmaker football contests all season long in order to compete for millions in prizes. Millions!
What?
The next generation of fantasy sports is here, so download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now. Sign up promo code FFF, click the Rainmakers tile, and opt in to get your first card for free. Plus, play for a million in prizes all football season while building the ultimate NFT fantasy franchise with Rainmakers Football. That's promo code FFF. Build, play, win. Only at DraftKings. Contest entries depend on type and number of NFT held. Eligibility restrictions applied. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details.
She's not a clone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, our favorite gal. Stefania, that was for our friend Jasmine, who's in the YouTube chat, was like, hey, when are we going to get some of these sounders back? When are we going to get some theme songs back?
Oh, I'm down for just like randomly having the sounders come through with the podcast at any moment.
You're good with that?
I love it.
Why not?
All right.
If Jasmine wants it, I want it.
All right.
Yeah, thank you, Jasmine. Thank you, Kitten Chip.
Yeah, thank you, Kit and Chip. And shout out to our friend Fonzie, who's been hanging out in the YouTube chat basically the entire day.
Fonzie.
Yeah.
Fonzie.
Yeah.
Fonzie. Like the Fonz? Fonz?
Maybe. It is yet to be determined. Kyle right now, so Thirsty Kyle
Soppy. You know about the Fonz?
You know, I was glad you mentioned that, Stefania.
That's like Jump the Shark the other day. Jumping the Shark is the Fonz. That's where it started, right? Didn't you just ask who's Jumped the Shark?
Yeah, is that where it started?
Did he start the Fonz? Jump the Shark?
The Fonz started Fonz Jumping the Shark because
it's confirmed.
Okay.
Brian, our director, has confirmed that the Fonz started it. All right, let's talk football.
Yeah, all right, let's talk about whatever. Some football here. All right, Kirk Cousins was quarterback 12 on a per game basis last season. Less than 1 point per game away from being a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
Understanding that there's going to be a new offensive scheme here in Minnesota field, do you think that he has the option to be able to sneak inside that top 10?
He's kind of the threshold for me as a guy that like is the last player that I feel good about as a starting quarterback coming out of a 10 or 12 team league. Obviously, there are more than 10 or 12 of those players. If you look at his span of four seasons in Minnesota, it's been like pretty consistent. He's got three seasons where he has more than 4,200 passing yards, but not more than 4,300 passing yards, like literally in that less than 100 yard range. He also has 30 passing touchdowns in three seasons, but never more than 35, right? So he hasn't had that 40 touchdown year. He hasn't had that 5,000 yard year in Minnesota. He has exactly one rushing touchdown in each of his four seasons. So he does not have that running element to his game that would help increase his floor and his ceiling. And I think it's pretty simple. If you go to the quarterbacks that are above Kirk Cousins in our rankings that are purely passers, which is what Kirk Cousins is, I think all of them have a better shot at 5,000 passing yards or 40 touchdowns. It's guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow.
Matthew Stafford,
etc. So, and then the guys ahead of him that also have the rushing, like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray. Like, it's a whole different category of conversation, right? So I think he's solid. I don't think he's spectacular. Over the past 2 years with Justin Jefferson, he has zero games with four passing touchdowns. So I think he's really solid. I just think there's more upside opportunities with other quarterbacks, even in a new offense that I do have some optimism surrounding.
So to me, Kirk Cousins is one of those quarterbacks where I don't feel great about drafting him. And then I look back and I go, well, you know, at the end of the year, he was actually okay.
He was more consistent
than I expected. Like, I don't get excited about drafting him. But then I look at some of these things. Over the last seven seasons, he's had 3,500 or more passing yards and 25 touchdown passes. Do you know he's the only quarterback? I should have done Fields trick and said, who's on the list of quarterbacks with 3,500 or more passing yards and 25 touchdown passes in each of the last seven seasons? That's consistency at a position where you're trying to find consistency.
Right.
Also, we talk about the new coaching regime there. Kevin O'Connell was with Kirk Cousins in Washington, so they have a familiarity with each other. So I think that's a bonus. I don't think that's too much of a shock to his system. He ranked sixth in average target depth last year. That surprised me too, because I don't think of him as throwing the ball. So I think I feel okay. I'm right there with you, Field. Like, solid, not sexy.
Right.
But he'll get the job done probably better than you expect.
Yeah, I think the stat you use is sort of like, I don't want 3,500 passing yards and 25 passing touchdowns.
You want the upside of the guy. You want Josh
45,
Allen.
Or I want, So that's why I think we kind of all see it the same way. It's fine.
But
it's
Kirk Cousins. To me, in a two-quarterback league,
he is
money, because you get your consistency from him and then you go with your upside guy.
Do you, as a comparison, not totally perfect, but do you think that Kirk Cousins as a quarterback is what David Montgomery is as a running back? Like, you're just not sexy. You always get that production. Doesn't feel like there's a ton of upside there. But somebody that, like, hey, man, if I go in, I leave a draft with David Montgomery as my RB2, I'm not, like, super excited about it, but I'm okay because I know he's going to produce. If I leave a draft with Kirk Cousins as my quarterback one, I'm not thrilled, because I would have rather had one of the other 13 quarterbacks ahead of him, but I'm not disappointed from that standpoint.
No, well, I think the reason why you're not disappointed is it means that you probably built a really good roster.
You have
awesome running back depth and awesome wide receiver depth and a great tight end potentially early in the draft. So if you take him, your roster construction has set you up where you can probably trade for him. My caution would be, here's where I think it matters. And I know that the overwhelming number of people that play on ESPN play in 10, even 8 or 12 team leagues. But if you play in a 16 team league, I would prefer not to be the caboose of the quarterback train. I don't want to be the last person to draft. And it can get thinner than you realize in a hurry when you factor in bye weeks. So if Kirk Cousins is just what he has been, you're going to get enough from the quarterback spot, but not elite production where he's going to carry you. And if you play in a deep league, you know that sometimes your running back options and wide receiver options are uglier than you realize, and you kind of need that quarterback to bail you out every once in a while.
That's fair. This is the last question on Kirk Cousins. We can move on. And Kyle, I don't have it on my sheet. Do you know what round Kirk Cousins is currently going in?
I'm going zero round, like undrafted in a bunch of leagues.
Yeah, I think we have here undrafted in 30% of leagues.
So 14th. Okay, so if you are drafting Kirk Cousins, one of the things we talked about, and we mentioned this earlier,
That's what you're doing. You're drafting your Kirk Cousins and then your defense and your kicker.
So as a part of that, we talked about Trey Lance earlier. Like, is Trey Lance the kind of guy that you would partner with a Kirk Cousins type quarterback at the end of the draft and almost draft your last two skill position players are quarterback before you go defense and kicker? Or do you feel like that's wasting the potential upside of a flyer you would grab?
It's wasting it, because if I'm in a league that's 10 or 12 team league, I have plenty of options at quarterback and you can stream them. Actually, at that point, I'm starting to look at matchups for those quarterbacks as well.
But if you don't have Trey Lance in a 10 team league to start the season, I'm not sure that you're going to be able to find him off waivers to be able to To get him in the season?
No, I think she's saying she wouldn't draft Kirk Cousins to pair with Trey Lance.
What do you mean I wouldn't draft Trey Lance?
Sophia's got Trey Lance in her 38-team league, in her two-team league, you name it. Right. Yeah, I mean, Danny, as I said earlier, it's fine. It's justifiable. I would prefer to use the roster spot elsewhere, though.
All right. Stefania, let's talk about Dalvin Cook. Oh, shoot. I should have done this thing. Hey, here's a question. Who's the one player with 1,100 rushing yards and 30 catches in each of the last three seasons?
Dalvin Cook. That's
Stefania.
It. That's the list.
That's the list. It's Dalvin Cook, and he's the only one. But in all honesty, Dalvin Cook has missed multiple games basically every year of his career, and he's still being drafted as a very much a top 10 running back. Does this injury history not, I don't want to say, does it concern you, because there's not really an actionable there. Does it, because of the fact that we are probably baking in missed time for Dalvin Cook, are you still okay with him as a running back that you draft in the first round, or knowing there might be missed time based on historical context, maybe should he fall outside of that?
Yes, I think you need to look. This is a reminder that not all injuries are created equal. Not all injury histories are created equal. And you want to really look at what the pattern has been. So if I see a player who has had a soft tissue injury like a hamstring, and Julio Jones getting older and dealing with hamstring injuries that have sort of bled from one season into the next, coupled with aging, that's a concern. Like, that's really going to carry forward. Dalvin Cook had an ACL injury that cost him a bulk of that season, and entered into the following season being, I thought, overutilized, which led to a hamstring issue that then compromised him for the entire year. So that was two back-to-back seasons. But then when he came back the next year, he was amazing, yep. Right? Looked fantastic, was running well, and really had a solid year. Now, last year he dealt with a shoulder issue that's sort of been an intermittent thing for him. Mm-hmm. But it was a completely separate thing. And I felt like that was not one and done isn't the right wording, but I'm not worried about that necessarily going into this year. So I think if you lump those numbers all together, it looks very different than if you talk about the reality of what his injury history was. So for those reasons, I am not any more concerned about Dalvin Cook than I am about any running back who steps on the field on Sundays.
Yeah. Preach. Underrated. What are we doing here? Dalvin Cook got unlucky last season. He had 6 rushing touchdowns. If he had more, if that number was 10, he might be in the conversation for a top 5 pick this year. Right now, he's going at 11th in terms of ADP. But I think he's underrated. I really do. So Dalvin Cook, as you already mentioned, 1,100 plus rushing yards in each of the past 3 seasons. Last year was a down year for the rushing touchdowns, just 6. He had 16 the year prior to that and 13 the year prior to that as well. When he's been healthy, he's been the guy for this offense. And when coaches talk about expanded receiving roles for a running back in the offseason, I don't pay too much attention to it, because we've seen so many examples of coaches saying that and approving hollow later. Other examples where they've said it and it's been true. But what I do know about Dalvin Cook, really good in the passing game. Yeah. If they give him the opportunities, he's going to make good on them. Dalvin Cook is just a stone cold. He's a baller, man. I think this guy deserves to be right in the thick of the first round. I've got him at 6th on my running back rankings, and I've said this a million times. I have more running backs than most in my top 10 overall. He is inside my top 10 overall, and the only concerns are that you may have a couple of games missed, but as Stefania told you, that could happen with any running back. I know they added a couple of backs this year in the draft. Those struck me as more of, let's keep an eye towards the future, than they are specific to this year. I think a massive year is in place for Dalvin Cook. Love him the back end of the first round.
Averages 21 touches and 100 total yards per game in 3 straight seasons.
It's pretty good. If you draft Dalvin Cook this year in the first round, are you going out of your way to grab Alexander Mattison, knowing he has missed multiple games in every year of his career? Or are you not targeting him necessarily as an insurance back, and are we going with the idea of, I'll grab a Kareem Hunt or a Tony Pollard or someone else's insurance back instead?
Yeah, I'm fine with using a pick on him later in the draft. I wouldn't go overboard. I wouldn't treat this like James Conner and Le'Veon Bell when Le'Veon Bell was uncertain to play and put James Conner in the 5th round. But late in the draft, I would certainly consider it. And last thought here on both Madison and Dalvin Cook is that because there are such great receivers this year, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Cooper Kupp, I think that middle tier of RB1s is being overlooked. Derrick Henry's, Najee Harris, Dalvin Cook. dropping down boards more than I think they would in previous years.
All right, let's talk about that wide receiver then, because Justin Jefferson, it's not like he's up there because he doesn't belong field. I mean, he's certainly played his way up to be a guy that is being drafted as a, you know, the top half of the first round in fantasy drafts. Stefania, consensus wide receiver two right now, current ADP is sixth overall. If you were drafting in the sixth spot right now, as good as Justin Jefferson is, and this is not about Justin Jefferson, are you taking a wide receiver there, which would be him, or would you look at one of the running backs?
I'm probably leaning towards one of the running backs because I'm kind of with Field that some of these running backs who should be at the top are probably slipping down to the back half of the first round. And I want one of them because I run out of those players quicker than I run out of depth at top wide receivers. Yeah. And I know, you know, we're talking about the best of the best between him, Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase, you know, what have you. But the running back position is more valuable to me there.
I grabbed Justin Jefferson in our fantasy marathon draft with the seventh pick in the first round. I think that is, like, if Justin Jefferson falls to you there, you're drafting him. If you want to draft Justin Jefferson with a third overall pick, I don't think that I have a problem with it from that standpoint. Field, do you have any reservations as far as where, how high Justin Jefferson can go for you this year?
Nope. If someone takes him first overall, I'm not going to be mad about it. Now, I would not take him first overall, but Justin Jefferson is, he could be the face of the league in two years from right now. It should not stun us. He's that special of a talent. Since he entered the NFL, he's got more receiving yards than any other player in the league. He has more receiving yards by nearly 250 than any other player through his first two seasons in the NFL.
Wow.
Randy Moss, OBJ, some of the guys who are out of the gates, incredible, better than all of them. Justin Jefferson's never missed a game. He averages 15 yards per catch. Some of the guys that we talk about who are piling up 100 catches, it's like 100 catches for 1,000 yards. Nothing wrong with that, but this guy is different special. 108 catches last year, nearly 1,700 receiving yards. He had at least 7 targets in 15 of his 17 games last year. He had one dud, and that was it. This guy is ridiculous. He's next level. He's absolutely absurd. All these wide receivers getting paid this offseason, wait till Justin Jefferson's extension eligible next offseason. Yeah. I absolutely love Justin Jefferson. I couldn't think of a negative thing to say about him for fantasy purposes. I don't care how high he goes in the draft. It's totally justifiable. I love the player. I think this could be, and we're always looking for the guy that can have that breakout season, could be the Cooper Kupp of 2022. I'm not even sure it's fair to call that for Justin Jefferson because he's been so good so far. But if he's the highest scoring player amongst all running backs and wide receivers at the end of this year, would be like, oh yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yep. Fair. All right. So finally, let's talk about his pass catching mate in Adam Thielen. Right now, ADP is wide receiver 31. Coming into the season, though, dealing with elderliness, how is that going to impact him here?
Wow.
Be careful. Jesus. First of all, that's not a real word. I'm going to send you back.
Elderliness
to...
is not a real word?
No, it's not.
I don't know about that.
Being elderly, and that's not even fair. I mean, he turned 32 years old. Like, when is...
On Monday.
Since when is that old? And by the way, wide receivers hit their peak a little bit later, so let's not go overboard on this with the age thing. He did have an ankle injury last year, ended up requiring surgery. And so I think that's people's last memory of him.
Yeah.
But he was actually playing really well before that. I like Adam Thielen. I think that sort of the hate on him with the addition of Justin Jefferson has gone too far. And I still think he's a very solid pass catcher in that offense. And so to me, this is a value pick in terms of where he's being drafted.
Did you say he was a top 30 wide receiver 8 times last year? Because with the idea, I think you're right. The idea
did
that just
say that
the idea that Justin Jefferson, like, that's where all the focus is. Adam Thielen right now, you're drafting look at this ninth round for Adam Thielen. And I feel like when you look at what this offense can be, the fact that him and Kirk Cousins are going to continue to do what they've done in previous years, I think it's good value. Don't expect top 15 stuff from Adam Thielen, but like, you want a fine flex play. I like Adam Thielen here this year.
Yeah, I think he's a fine ADP of or wide receiver. It's fine. It depends on how confident you are he's going to return that touchdown volume that he has seen for the past 2 years when he's got 24 receiving touchdowns over these past two seasons. If you believe that can sustain, good, because he's a really talented player. Amazing catch radius. The guy's been one of the better stories in the NFL over the past 2 years of player development. Couple things worth noting. I mean, you mentioned you called it elderliness. He's 32 now. He had to restructure his contract to stick around with the Vikings. So they had to, it was a pay cut for him. Essentially, there were some other guarantees that he got, but you know, you're not redoing your contract if the team is expect, you know, if you're thrilled, right? You have to, it's a little bit of a concession that you are taking to stick around.
Yep.
His yards per catch dropped to a career low 10.8 last season. He had just one game with at least 100 receiving yards last season. So if you think touchdowns are going to be fine, go ahead and take them. However, if you're in that stage of your draft and you're like, I want to go for the upside of a Rashad Bateman or a Devontae Smith or maybe any Chiefs wide receiver, including Juju Smith-Schuster, have at it. I get it. But he's a solid, he's a comfort food selection.
Comfort food.
You kind of know what you're going to get.
I like that. If there was one more player in this Vikings team you'd consider walking away from the draft with, who would it be? And while you guys think about that, one more is presented by Body Armor. Gear up this fall with Body Armor Sports Drink. It is more than a sports drink. Field, do you have a player, one other Viking player you would walk away from drafts with?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll talk about Irv Smith in a moment. So I'll mention KJ Osborne, who last year when he filled in for Adam Thielen was really good. He kept scoring touchdowns, and the evolution of this offense suggests they could be much more three wide receiver heavy. Last year with the Rams, of course, that's where Kevin O'Connell was. The team ran about as many plays with three wide receivers on the field as any other in the NFL. So KJ Osborne has some value both as a potential third wide receiver on this offense. And also, if something happens to Adam Thielen, as we saw last year, he's ready to step right in and play a useful fantasy role.
NFC North version of Josh Palmer. Stefania.
I am going to mention Irv Smith. Field knows that I like Irv Smith because I've talked about him before, but he missed all of last year because of the torn meniscus, had surgery that cost him the season. And before last year, they were talking about utilizing him much more in the pass catching role. And if you've listened or read the transcripts of Kevin O'Connell talking about Irv Smith, that is exactly what he plans to do as well. Now, he had a thumb injury that he had surgery on that happened during training camp. And as of right now, still wearing a low profile splint, just doing individual work right now. But O'Connell very much upbeat on him being available for week one. And they looked at getting the thumb fixed as something to help him be healthy for the season so it would not be an ongoing problem. And O'Connell is still talking like they are planning to use him as a pass catcher. In fact, all of this being done with his thumb was to make sure that it would be easier for him to catch the ball. Think about it. Part of the way they decided to proceed on the medical front was because of the role that he plays. So I think that should give you confidence in terms of how they're going to use him. I really think we haven't seen the talent of Irv Smith emerge. I think he could be a surprise at the end of the year.
All right. Excited to be able to see that. We're going to be back with just a little bit more. But
Caesars.
First, oh, that's right. We have Caesars Field. Good call. 9 wins. That seems high to me. I'm going to take the under.
Me too. Under.
Yep. Under.
Under. All right. We're going to come back in just a moment, but first, summer is all about outdoor cookouts, backyards, get-togethers, and of course, fantasy football drafts, and that means plenty of Miller time. And with just 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12-ounce serving, it's the perfect light beer to sip on all summer long, and all draft long. It's been proven over time that with the Miller Lite in your hand, your drafting ability improves, and who doesn't want that? In a world of endless scrolling through delivery options, you know what you're going to get with Miller Lite. It's beer. With great taste and only 96 calories, Miller Lite is brewed with beer lovers in mind. Because Miller Lite is for those who actually want to taste their beer. This summer, have more fun with Beer Lovers Light Beer, the great-tasting Miller Lite. There's nothing like that first sip of an ice-cold beer on a hot summer day, no matter where you are. So whenever it's Miller time for you, by a fire pit, poolside, a dive bar, wherever you're at, make sure you grab a Miller Lite and make the most of it. So the next time you're getting ready to enjoy cold ones with your crew, go to MillerLite.com/FFF to find delivery options near you, or you can pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere that they sell beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
Hey guys, fantasy football season is around the corner, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, trash-talking friends. This season, your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CD Lamb, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash-talking points you need. And hey, this fall is a great time to up your game, too. Maybe you're hitting the gym again or just looking to stay fit. Whatever your workout routine, you're going to need to stay hydrated. And Body Armor has got you covered. Made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, and coconut water, Body Armor is a great option whether you're playing ball with friends, hauling coolers to a tailgate, or rooting for your team. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. Body Armor Sports Drink, more than a sports drink. now through November 1st. Buy any one Body Armor product at your local convenience store and scan the QR code in-store to enter to be one of hundreds of winners to receive $100 in DraftKings prizing. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of U.S. 21 and older.
Wow. You did an awesome job on that, Stefania.
Gosh.
Comes back to just you and I.
Yeah. Oh, look at us.
Field Yates are gone. So we're here right now. Yeah, we're talking about some Spark Notes. In case you're just tuning in, in case you're coming in, like not everyone jumps in August 1st to be able to start doing all their fantasy football prep, right?
They don't?
No, they don't. No. So we're going to go quickly through this. This is the Spark Notes version of fantasy football. The top overall pick this year, Stefania, should be
Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor, I agree there. Stars in new spots. When are you drafting Davante Adams with his move from Green Bay to the Oakland Raiders? Las Vegas Raiders, so sorry.
Yeah. I know his ADP is like early round two. I would even consider him at the turn. He's in that top tier wide receivers.
All right. What about Tyreek Hill? For me, when I'm looking at him with his move away from the Chiefs, I'm probably looking towards the tail end of the second, but definitely before I get to the third round. How about another wide receiver, A.J. Brown, that just changed teams this year?
It's one of the hardest for me to evaluate because I just don't know. We've talked about that being sort of a lateral move maybe for A.J. Brown, but yet volume-wise, touchdown scoring, that could be really good. His ADP, mid-round four, I feel like that's about right. Fourth round, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in that range. I think that sounds about right. I'm actually being told, I know we're running late on time, but it sounds like Mike sent in another video. Is that true?
And yet, we're going to sacrifice her.
No. Just had a nightmare. I took a quarterback in the second round.
I freaking love Mike. Don't draft a quarterback in the second round, by the way. Also,
this is what Mike worries about when he sleeps.
Yeah. He wakes
where
up.
Where are you drafting your quarterback? Look at what you are doing to Mike Clay if you draft a quarterback in the second round.
He said it. Don't draft a quarterback early. Stefania, are you waiting on quarterback this year?
I almost always do.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not playing, if it's not a super flex league, if it's not something like that, I am waiting. I can't pull the trigger knowing that even with the best of the best, it's really hard for me.
It's tough to justify those early round ADPs when you can get skill position players there. And guys like we talked about today, like Kirk Cousins, so late, basically free in draft. All right. Who's one guy that you seem to like more than the public so far this year?
Well, I get crushed on it all the time. And it's Ezekiel Elliott. And hey. I admit, I'm nervous. I'm nervous about this pick. He's got to stay healthy in order for me to look good. So Zeke, I hope that you are going to stay healthy. But I think that I'm also concerned now because we're losing people up front, the Dallas Cowboys. Uh-huh. And, you know, but everything about Dak is better. He's coming in healthier this season. They might not have that many pass catchers, but the ones who are there are really, really good. So I think that helps with the running game. I think Zeke and Pollard are a good combination. I think Zeke will still get the red zone looks. I think he will score in the end zone this year. He'll be more powerful. I like Zeke.
I'm going to take A.J. Dillon over 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns when both Davante Adams and Aaron Jones were there and healthy. There's no Davante Adams there anymore. So I think that this team is going to be a little bit more run heavy. I think they like A.J. Dillon. I really like him, especially with how late he's going as a running back too, or a flex play.
I'm impressed.
All right. Who's one guy that you seem to be out on this draft season?
It's J.K. Dobbins. Mm. And I hate to be out on people because of injury, but I feel like this is consistent with where I was when I was having warnings about the Baltimore running back situation a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I wish him the best. And these are the cases where I would love if they prove me wrong, because it means they're healthier than what I'm seeing from the outside.
Yep.
But with him just having these up and down days, practices, and he gets rest days, it's not really clear if he'll be available for week one or two. It doesn't matter to me. It matters what he looks like when he comes back. And I think people are remembering J.K. Dobbins and what he was before the injury. And I just don't think he's that when he comes back. It's going to take a while.
Yep.
I think he'll get there, but I'm not going to be drafting him this year.
And based on where you have to draft him and what it is that you have to invest in him, that is a big part of it. For me, it's Cordarrelle Patterson.
What?
It's Cordarrelle Patterson. You want to know why? It's because he's never been good at football until last year. And I don't mean that in like
That's
a mean way.
That's not true.
He's never been good in fantasy football until last year. And last year was the first time he was ever top 20 at something. Now going into his age 33 season with the Atlanta Falcons and that offense. And no offense to the Atlanta Falcons, but like, no, I'm just out on Cordarrelle Patterson. I'd rather have somebody with more upside when I'm drafting at that spot.
All right.
Stefania, that's going to do it for us today. The three of us are going to be back on Monday morning. We're going to be covering all the news, any of the rest of the stuff that came out over the weekend. We're going to preview Browns and Ravens as we near the end of Double Trouble. Next week, we have a projection special with some Dynasty Talk on Wednesday. You're going to give us a special. We have a two quarterback show on Thursday, some salary cap league advice on Friday, all before the busiest weekend of the year. So many good things to be able to come next week. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Have so much fun this weekend. Be good to each other. Make sure you love other people like I love Stefania and like Stefania loves me. And
we love each other. Stay healthy, guys. Yes. It's the final preseason games. Please
no stay
more
healthy.
Injuries.
We'll see you guys next week. Seriously, though, why did Field leave? You know?
I think
Field
it.
Jumped the shark.
I know.
I think that's what just happened right there. Is
Field,
that what that
Field
means?
Ducking out early.
Yeah, seriously.
Cutting class.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows.